And I told you how these passages here are not a lot of meat, per se, in them to learn from, but the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So as I was pondering this passage here at Acts 23, we're going to look at verse 23 through 35. We're going to finish the chapter. I came away with, a couple of thoughts, but the first and most important one I just went ahead and made the whole message out of because I thought it would be very applicable for us, certainly a lesson for us to learn. I think sometimes, and you've heard me say this before, but I think sometimes we set up our own standard of righteousness, and so many people do that. They feel like maybe they're holy or they're walking with God because they do this, this, and this. It's kind of like that Pharisee. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes at all I possess. I'm a holy man. But he forgot that he was full of pride, and it made him an unholy man. But human nature does that. We tend to set up a standard that makes us holy and other people not. And instead of allowing the Bible to be the standard and just being honest and letting the truth. But the message here this morning, the subject is something that we may not think as a big thing, but this subject actually cost the children of Israel the opportunity to go into the promised land and caused them to wander for 40 years in a circle in the wilderness and then provoke the Most High. No, they weren't putting on jewelry. No, they weren't putting on makeup. No, they weren't doing all these other things that people are so concerned about. But they were doing something that is a major problem in the church today. And nobody really talks about it. So I think it's a good thing to talk about it. And so we'll address it here this morning. Not to say that these other things are okay, but I wonder sometimes whether our list of things that make someone holy, we ought to add a few. And this one is a big one to the Lord. So we're going to draw a lesson out of Acts chapter 23. Well, let's review before we read this passage. Paul has gone back to Jerusalem, and he is trying to win these Jewish people, and as we've learned before, if God has closed their hearts and closed things down, doesn't matter, great preachers, great testimonies, even miracles, that's not going to change their hearts. And so Paul is there, and nobody's getting converted, and there's nothing happening. Paul is nearly torn asunder back here in Acts 23, verse 10, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. So Paul is nearly torn apart. And fortunately, this chief captain, which we'll get his name here in a little bit, he comes and rescues Paul from these Pharisees and Sadducees who are having a debate. Well, then later on, we see these 40 men banding themselves together to try to kill Paul, and they make an oath that they're not going to eat until Paul is dead. And yet, Paul doesn't die, and he's almost torn apart, but he doesn't die, and these 40 men go after him, and he doesn't die. And then we talk a little bit about the providence of God, how this nephew hears a conversation and then warns the chief captain about this conversation and this desire for these 40 men to kill Paul. And now we've come to what this chief captain is going to do and in trying to keep Paul from getting harmed. So I'm going to start reading here in verse 23, and we'll go down to verse 35. I'll read the whole passage. I'm going to just bring out one thing from the passage. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner: Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix. Felix must have been a higher up. Sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army. Maybe a little bit of pride here in that statement there. And then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So there you go. Teachers, what do you teach out of that passage there? What's the truth that we can teach from that passage? Well, one thing that came to my mind, and the word is used here in verse 24, it says, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. That word safe, you know, I think of the desire for Paul's safety here, and certainly Paul has been kept safe. We've seen this individual protected throughout the book of Acts. We'll also see him being protected here in the future. It's just going to be another chapter or two that he's going to get in a boat, and that boat's going to be caught in a storm, and that boat's going to be cast on the shore and broken up, and Paul and all that are with him again are going to be safe. And he's going to go up on that shore, Melita, and he's going to make a fire. They're going to have a fire there. He's going to warm his hands by the fire, and a serpent is going to come out of that fire and bite him, and yet it's not going to harm him. He's going to remain safe. And so as you follow this man's life, God is protecting him. God is giving him safety. He was literally torn asunder, but a chief captain comes and rescues him. Then there are 40 men who are trying to kill him with an oath. And a little nephew boy hears a conversation, and Paul is saved from that. And then he is given this transfer, a safe transfer, all the way up to Caesarea. And so, when I thought about this passage, I wanted to bring out just how safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Proverbs 21:31 says this: the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And the Lord has certainly, and He's doing it here, He has been keeping Paul safe. Though Paul is going through much persecution, yet Paul's life has been spared over and over again. So when the Bible says safety is of the Lord, that means that safety, Brother John had the song, I was thinking about that this morning, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, wisdom, righteousness, safety. There's many things that could go in there, but Jesus Christ is made to me my safety. He is my safety, and Paul could have testified to that the Lord is my safety. That safety is of the Lord. You can prepare a horse, You can put the armor on, you can get everything ready for war, but unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. And safety is of the Lord. Safety is not something that we can accomplish. It's not of man. So many people today, this human nature, try to keep ourselves safe. You know, we're all concerned about safety. Well, let's have a little faith today and realize that safety is of the Lord. It's not about us. If God doesn't want things to happen to us, as I've said this before, if God doesn't want you to die, you're not going to die. I mean, I don't care what situations you're in, you're not going to die. But safety is of the Lord. I like this one. 1 Thessalonians 5, for when they shall say peace and what? Safety. Then cometh destruction upon them. You know, humanity, we've got this thing together. We've got it all together where we're all safe now. Boom. And so, safety. God gives safety. I think of the protection that God gave the Lord Jesus as a child, you know. And what was it, Herod, who killed all the babies from 2 years old and under? He was after this little child. What can a little child do? Joseph and Mary and a little kid. And they got the king, the Roman Herod, there trying to kill you. But safety's of the Lord. And the Lord drops a little dream here for Joseph and a little dream there for Joseph. Get up, get out of town, come back into town, get out of town. And the Lord provides safety for this little baby, the Lord Jesus. There are many accounts I could go to in the Bible of proving that safety is of the Lord. But, you know, I think it's an issue for us to address here because I think we fail in this area, and it's not a small thing. And we'll see that here as we go through this lesson. Human nature, our fallen nature, seeks to save its life. And that's what the Bible says. We're not to save our life, we're to what? Lose it. Whoso shall save his life, save comes from the root word safe. Whoever tries to make his life safe shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And I'll tell you what, Paul has lost his life for the Lord's sake and the gospel's, and the Lord is saving it over and over and over and over again. And all we're seeing in the book of Acts is that truth, that if you lose your life, I'll save you. And you got people today trying to save themselves. Oh my. And they die. And I know we're all going to die someday. But safety is of the Lord. Now, there's some areas here that I think I want to challenge you all in. Because I think this is important for us. The Great Commission, which we mentioned a few weeks ago, Brother Yossin, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Paul's doing it. He's doing what he knows to do, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that's a commandment. Just stop and think about that for a minute. There are many places in the world that are not safe, and yet the Lord says, go into all the world. There are many creatures, there are many people in this world that are not safe to be around, certainly not safe to tell them about the Lord Jesus and to speak to them about heaven and hell. And yet, the commandment is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, wait a minute, Lord. Don't you know there are dangerous places in the world? Don't you know, Lord, that there are dangerous people in the world? Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. Those beasts weren't bears and lions and crocodiles. They were human beings. Men that were acting like beasts. So if this gospel must be preached in all the world to every creature, that means that God expects His people to go into all kinds of dangerous places. That's one of the problems I've always had with the missionary type mindsets that we have. You know, if God says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and there's a nation that says you can't come in here, oh, here we have a problem. God says go into every nation. The nation says you're not coming in here. I have no doubt that the early church would have said, we're going in. We're going in. Because a higher authority says to preach the gospel to every nation. Amen. So we have some ruler that says we can't have Christians in here, and we shrink back in fear like, okay, God, we can't go in there. And the Lord says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I have no doubt. I just feel good about that. A lot of people running around saying, well, we can't get in this country, we can't get into that country. And I say these things, and maybe the Lord will send me into those countries. But I don't think, you know, when the apostles, when the leaders came and said, you cannot preach here in Jerusalem, well, there you go. You can't do it here. Well, they said, well, we got a higher authority says we're supposed to do it here. We're going to do it here. They got in trouble. But we read about it and say, these great people, great men of God, power of God, miracles. And yet we shrink back. So the world is a dangerous place, but the Lord has commanded us to go into all the world. And I think the Lord knew, obviously, that it would be a dangerous place. Throughout the years, we've faced some of those things, myself and our family, but I listed a couple of things. You know, we went to Colombia. At the time, Colombia was the most dangerous country in the world. More people were murdered per capita in that country than any other country in the world. Of course, they had the drug cartel, and the FARC was there. And I thought about Chicago, you know, going into Chicago for 4 or 5 years and inner city Chicago. We had all the college students, I mean, two by twos, men and women, all over the streets of Chicago. That was 35 years ago, but Chicago was a wicked place. I never heard of anybody getting in trouble or anybody getting hurt. Got people telling us, oh, Columbus is a bad place down there. And yes, I'll tell you what, Chris and I were sitting there last week and we heard a testimony of 3 gunfights within that right community from a couple of the children. The little girl was there, Shariah, a 15-year-old girl, said, yeah, I heard the gunshots. And we sat with, what was her name that we sat? The Greyhound security guard, Tika. She was shot in the stomach. She said, I'm afraid to go to work because 3 or 4 people have been shot there in the Greyhound bus station. And yeah, but when you think about it, go into all the world and preach the gospel, Columbus and the hood is a part of that world. Amen. There are many places in this world that are very dangerous to be. I just got back from Mozambique. There's a civil war in Mozambique. There are many creatures in this world who are very dangerous. Muslims who kill unbelievers. A lot of dangerous people go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't the Lord know what he was doing here? Like, Lord, there's some bad places in the world. There's some bad people. Yeah, I know. Go. He doesn't say, go ye into all the world except if you think it's a dangerous place. He doesn't say to preach to every creature except the dangerous ones. Because, and here's the answer, because safety is of the Lord. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with the situation that you're in. Safety is of the Lord. Do you believe that? Safety. I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. By the way, this is Paul's not named in here, but he is going to be one of the apostles. And here in Matthew chapter 10 is a story of the Lord sending out his apostles or his disciples to go forth and to preach. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, listen to what he says here. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now think about that for a minute. What is the most dangerous place for a sheep in all the world? It's in the midst of a pack of wolves. Right? I mean, if you're a sheep here this morning, bah, bah, what's the last place you want to be? In the midst of a pack of wolves. And yet, it's interesting that the Lord says, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves. I don't think the Lord has any problem at all in sending us out to very dangerous and difficult situations. But I think human nature, and we struggle with this, human nature says, I'm not going. I'm not going. Too dangerous. Well, I don't know if there's anything more dangerous than for a sheep to be set in the midst of wolves. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, a lot of people say, well, God gives us a brain, you know. And God gives us a brain. You know what He gave you that brain for? To trust Him. To study the Word. To understand the Word. To let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. To build faith. And for you to trust Him. He didn't give you that word to start reasoning with your own understanding. Doesn't the Bible say to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to what? Your own understanding. No, don't do that. Because nobody who leans to their own understanding is going to go into the midst of a pack of wolves if they're a sheep. You won't do that. It just doesn't make sense. How safe is that? A sheep in the midst of wolves. Who in their right mind would do that? Well, here's the thing. And I've said this before. The only hope for those sheep is a good shepherd. And I'll tell you what. If you're a sheep and you're sent into the midst of wolves, you're leaning heavily on the shepherd. And you're trusting and you've got a lot of trust and hope and faith in the and that's exactly where the Lord desires us to be. Trust me. Trust me. I can bring you through this. I'm the good shepherd. Well, you know, sheep are defenseless creatures. Remember, many years ago, probably when we were in the YMCA back in the late 1990s, I preached a message on sheep are defenseless. They're defenseless. I studied sheep. Sheep have nothing to defend themselves with. They have no sharp teeth. They have no claws. They don't have porcupine quills in their body. They don't run fast. They don't have a hard turtle shell. They are simply animals that cannot defend themselves. That's why they have shepherds. And God calls us sheep. And He is our shepherd. And He sends us out into the midst of wolves. But then in verse 16, look what it says. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's what a sheep is. He's harmless. Now, Paul is experiencing this. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. He's understanding that. And here's something beautiful in verse 18. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And you're going to see Paul. He's going to be brought before Agrippa. He's going to be brought before Felix. He's going to be brought before King Caesar. Just because he's a preacher of the gospel. You want to stand before great men? Preach the gospel. He says, I'll bring you before governors, kings. But notice here, verse 28, fear them not that kill the body, but unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, verse 29, he gives an analogy here. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? A farthing is the smallest amount of money, like a penny. And yet one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, God says, or the Lord is talking to His disciples. He says, listen, don't you know that those sparrows, they're very cheap. You can get two of them for a penny. But my Father doesn't let one of those birds fall to the ground without His eye and His notice. And then He goes on to say in the next verse, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Isn't that amazing? Chris, God knows the very hairs of your head. He knows if you fell off the last couple days too. He's got a good count. He is so concerned about each one of us to the detail that He won't even let a little sparrow, a worthless little sparrow, fall to the ground without His noticing. Why are we concerned that somehow we're going to fall to the ground without Him noticing or caring? Verse 31, fear you not therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? I know many people won't go to the mission field because they're afraid of things. They're just afraid. Keep me here in Holmes County, Lancaster. Keep me here where it's safe. We're going to see here the Israelites wanted to stay, the wives and children, where it's safe. Safe. We like the safe places. The Lord says, I send you forth. And I think the missionary movement has been greatly hindered because we don't believe that safety is of the Lord. And the idea of being sent into a pack of wolves is not very appealing. So Paul is learning this as he goes through the book of Acts, that he's safety is of the Lord. He's been rescued before he was torn in pieces. His nephew is overhearing this conversation to save him from these 40 men. He's going to get saved from the shipwreck. He's going to get saved from the serpent bite. All because he's doing the will of God. He's out trying to serve and do the right thing. Turn with me back a few chapters here to Matthew chapter 4. I want to go to the opposite side here and tell you something to be careful of, to avoid. Something the devil tempted Jesus with here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. It says, then the devil taketh him up, take Jesus up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. You're safe. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know, I can just see the devil saying, Lord, safety is of the Lord. You know, you'll be all right. I looked it up, how high the temple, the pinnacle of the temple was. You know how high it was? 15 stories. I used to live in a two-story house. I'd get up on the roof. That's a long way down there. When I was a kid, if I fell off the two-story roof, my even house now is a two-story, but I might not live through it. Here we are, 15 stories up. The devil says, safety is of the Lord, Jesus. Cast yourself down. He'll protect you. You're safe. Well, I hope you understand why the Lord does not do that. He answers in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, Paul is living and serving God and trying to do the right thing and preaching the gospel and laying down his life. And the Lord says, I can keep you safe. Safety is of the Lord. But here is the devil tempting him. Throw yourself off the pinnacle. Throw yourself off. You hear these people that say, well, the Bible says we'll pick up serpents. We'll bring a box full of snakes right up here and I'll put my hand in and try to pick them up, carry them. Half the time they get bit and die. That's tempting the Lord. We're going to see Paul come to a fire here in Melita, and the same thing is going to happen to him. He's going to put his hands over the fire, trying to do the right thing, just preaching the gospel. He just got knocked off his ship. He's soaking wet, warming his hands. Excuse me, and some snake bites him. Well, won't hurt you. I got you covered. I got your back. But don't tempt the Lord. You don't get to the top of this building and say, safety is of the Lord. Whom? Not a good idea. And so if you're serving Him and doing the will of God and obeying His will, safety is of the Lord. And you can trust the Lord to take care of you. Some very dangerous places in the world. I was in Bolivia, and some of the roads there in Bolivia are unbelievable. Going back 6 hours into the mountains. Joe Tyndall lived back in those mountains in Bolivia. If you know Joe, and he tells the story of his family. He was on one of those buses, and they got in a corner, this tight roads, and there's just a fall off. Goes down a mile or so into some ravine. They don't even bother looking for you if you go down. Put a little cross up there with a few flowers just to remind people that somebody died here. But Joe said they're sitting in the back of the bus with his family, and they get in a corner, and they can't go around the corner, so they have to back it up. So they're backing it up, and you know, Joe's looking over, and the cliff is right there, and he said, we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, we felt this thing drop 1 foot, just go, phew. And the next thing he knows, this bus is going over, and it rolls, and it, praise safety to the Lord, it catches on a tree, catches, saves their life. So there's a lot of dangerous places in the world, but we don't tempt God. Let's look at another place. This is one I think we ought to really pay attention to here in Numbers chapter 13. And I've shared this one before. A lot of this is review. But in Numbers chapter 13, I want to start reading in verse number 30. And Caleb, this is the spies going into the promised land. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And here's what Caleb and Joshua had in their hearts. Yes, it looks like a pack of wolves there in the promised land. There are giants, but we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. And we can go in there and be safe. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Here are people who don't think that safety is of the Lord. They're going to stay back. It's a matter of faith. And a lot of people here, it's a matter of faith. Stay back. Stay back. No, it's not talking about putting some makeup on your face or wearing some lipstick. And those kind of things get you kicked out of the church real quick. Well, people can sit in here with a heart full of fear, trying to save themselves, avoiding all kinds of things like this. No one ever knows. They brought up an evil report. There were giants, verse 33, and they were as grasshoppers, fearful. Look at verse chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? This is not a safe place. God has brought us in here to kill us. Not good. Not good. They said, let us make a captain and go back into Egypt. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. They knew what was going to happen. And God said, okay. All right. You don't have faith to believe that I am a strong shepherd and I can protect you in the midst of wolves? All right. Wander in a circle for 40 years. And I believe this is a lot of Christians are going in a circle. 40 years just wandering around. You meet him 10 years later, you meet him again. What are you doing? Oh, we're going in a circle. Going in a circle. Not going forward, no. Going in a circle. You know why they went? So because they didn't believe the shepherd could protect them in the midst of the wolves. They saw a situation that was dangerous. They said, we're not going in. God gave us a brain. We're going to reason. We're going to keep our wives and children over here, and we're not going in. Caleb and Joshua said, we've got a great shepherd. This shepherd will protect us in the midst of wolves. Truth of the matter is, there should be no place in this world where we shouldn't be willing to go. Amen? We got a shepherd. And that's faith. That's faith. We trust him. And you know, this may be a small thing to us, but it's not a small thing to the Lord. It costs them the promised land. And may cost us a lot too. We don't even know. Probably costing us a lot. Safety. And we've been watching, you know, we've been watching Paul, and he's been all over the place, and yet God's provided safety for him in miraculous ways. Because he's willing to do what he was commanded to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I share this, we're going to look at another area here, but I share this just to say, whenever you start reasoning about, well, I don't know, I should go take my family over there because it's not safe, you ought to stop and say, whoa, it's not a good reasoning. This is not good reasoning. Because everywhere the Lord sent his disciples, it wasn't safe at all. And yet he said, I'll take care of you. Safety's of me. And so we talk about our physical safety. We ought to give it to him. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to go. And Lord, you got the responsibility of keeping me safe. Here you go. I'll go into the worst areas. You got safety's of you. Yeah, it's not me. It's of you. I believe Paul believed that. I believe the early church believed that. They went everywhere. And yet in our nature, in our fallen nature, we try to save ourselves. Keep me safe. There's another area I'd like to address here because it's brought up on occasion with regards to this very same thing, and that is my spiritual well-being. Okay, Lord, you can take care of our physical condition, but what about our spiritual condition? Because you know, when you go into some of these places, Lord, they're wicked. It's a wicked world, Lord, and there are people like the Sodomites in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lord, if I go there, that wickedness will affect me. That wickedness, and Lord, there are wicked people. What about all these wicked people? I like to stay around people that aren't wicked. But if you've got to preach the gospel to every creature, you're going to preach to a lot of wicked people. You're going to be in a lot of wicked places. I'm going to read to you here the high priestly prayer. They're very familiar verses here in John 17. Jesus said to his disciples, I have given them thy word, or he's praying to his Father, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Now, notice here that the Lord's safe, his safety's of the Lord. He's going to protect you from physical harm, but also he's promising to protect you from spiritual harm. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now you think about this. The world is a dangerous place, but it's also a wicked place. Wicked. And so if the Lord says, go into all the world, he's also sending you not only to a dangerous place, but he's also sending you to a wicked place. The world, some of these places are wicked. He doesn't say, go into the areas that are really nice and the people are nice and there's religion in those areas. No, go into all the world, and that would include the Sodoms, the Gomorrahs, the Babylons, the wicked places. Go. And I'm going to protect you there too, spiritually, with this right here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, you know it's going to get worse, but the world is a wicked place, and there are a lot of wicked people. There's a lot of wicked influences. So on a college campus, it's not unusual for boys and girls, boys kissing boys, just making a mockery, girls kissing, and just doing ungodly things, hearing ungodly words, just ungodly thoughts. Well, should I say, Lord, I shouldn't be out here because this is a wicked place? He says, I'm sending you into all the world to preach the gospel. And I'm going to give you my word to cleanse you and to sanctify you, to keep you separated from all that wickedness. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, you know, when Paul went and he preached, and we've seen this, he got stoned, he got put in prison, he got almost torn in pieces. His physical body, if you probably see, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His body went through some difficulties, but he was saved. And spiritually speaking, it may put us through some difficult situations. But our only option is this, to say we're not going anywhere that's dangerous, or we're not going anywhere that's wicked. We'll just stay in our little bubble. Where do you find that in the Bible? And a lot of people are just trying to build a little bubble, keep everybody safe. It's not going to work. So, how do you go into a wicked world and preach the gospel to every creature without facing evil influences? You can't. You cannot. I mean, down there in Columbus, we face just evil things, evil words, evil thoughts, evil deeds. What do you do? We're not going to go to you. We're not going to try to help you. We're not going to minister to you. No, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm going to send you into that wicked world, but I'm going to give you a way to keep clean and separated from that world. Now, we're not to yoke up with them. We're not to yoke up, meaning we're not to befriend them. We're not to commune with them. We're not to fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know, people use this verse often, evil communications corrupt good manners. So I stay away from anybody that's evil. Well, then you can't even go to the world and preach the gospel because there's a lot of evil communications. But the word there, evil communications, the word communications, I looked it up this morning. It means to companion with, to befriend, or to have intercourse with, to yoke up with them. Evil friendships, evil intercourse corrupts good manners. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And so, you know, Jesus, he went into the world, wicked place, but he didn't have a yoke with the unbeliever. He didn't fellowship or combine his heart. They drank, he sat by the bar and drank with them. They smoked marijuana, he sat down and smoked with them. They cussed, well, he cussed with them. No. He went to them, but he stayed separated. And I know people, when they look out and they see a world that's wicked, a world that's dangerous, they say, let's just form a little bubble and stay in here and live our lives. But it's not a good thinking. It's not a good thought process. And it's obviously hindered the church over the years just to try to save itself. So yeah, and I think it's good for us to keep our children away from those things until they're converted and grown. There's a place for that, little children. But the Lord still sends us into the world. He acknowledges it's wicked. There's bad influences out there, but you stay in the Word, and it'll keep you clean. So he sends us into the world. Verse 18, he sends us, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And it's not just these apostles. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, the 12, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So this prayer is going up for everybody. And so, you know, you look at Paul as we've been watching him there in the book of Acts, and we say, wow, this guy's in all kinds of dangerous situations. And yeah, he's taken some beatings and some bruises, and yet God is providing safety for him, delivering him, keeping him alive. And Paul's in some bad situations as far as influence. There's some wicked people. He's over there at the great goddess Diana. He's probably seeing immorality, the temples, fornication in Corinth going on. This is a bad world. Wicked people. Wicked things. But he's there and he's preaching. And he's keeping his spiritual life in order by this book right here. The Word of God. Young people, if you're living in this wicked world and you're not in this book right here, keeping yourself cleansed, you're going to get washed away with it. You're going to get washed away because the current of this world is strong. Amen. You know, and it's just a powerful current. And there's a current to try to teach you young people that you don't know whether you're a man or a woman, you know. Some of this stuff is a bizarre. And you know, you be careful. You're going to get washed downstream. But I don't believe at all, and you see this throughout the book of Acts, you see that the Bible testifies to this, I don't believe at all that it's the will of God for us to close ourselves off and say we're not going into dangerous places for fear of our lives. We're not going into wicked places for fear of the influences. God has provided safety. God has provided the ability to be cleansed as you go into these wicked places. Everything we need. Jesus Christ is all I need. And yeah, I'm not saying you might not get beaten up. Spiritually, you might struggle. I'm here to affirm that, you know, you see that stuff on a regular basis. If you're not careful, it can have an effect on you. But you've got to be careful. And guard your heart with all diligence. But I say this, the safest place to be is where Paul is. The safest place to be is where these disciples are. The safest place to be is the book of Acts. Doing the will of God. And yes, it's a wicked world. But we have the cleansing and the washing of the water of the Word. So, are we sitting here this morning and we're trying to form in our minds safety, a life of safety, always trying to find the safe route? Now, you know, if you're driving down the road and you have a choice between driving on the left side or on the right side, I want to encourage you to stay on the right side of the road. That's the safe side. That's the law. Obey the law. So I'm all for safety, but when it comes to the word of the Lord and to the will of God, let's not back away from things that seem dangerous. There's been many times in my life where God has asked me to do something that seemed very dangerous to me, and I had to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you as a shepherd to take me through this. And he's always done it. Now, there's going to come a day when I'm going to die too. I hope I die a martyr. I'd rather die out in one of these dangerous situations than die at some rest home somewhere, you know, and rotting away in my old age. So what lesson can we learn? Well, we can learn this. Safety is of the Lord. And if God calls you and commands you to do something, you're in the safest place. Just do it. Don't start reasoning. Lean not to your own understanding. Oh, if I take my family to that country, my children will be killed, martyred, our family will be... No, safety's of the Lord. Give that to Him. He'll take care of it. And if something happens that you are martyred, praise be to God, you're going straight into the presence of the Lord. And you're going to be greatly rewarded. It's a win-win situation. Spiritually speaking, yes, I know it's a challenge too. It's not going to get any better. And human nature says, close everything down. Let's just stay in here and be safe. I don't think it's the wisdom of God. Let's not make the same mistake the Israelites made. See a dangerous situation and say, let's not go that direction. Let's step out in faith. And accept the call of the Lord. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll open up for discussion. Heavenly Father, would you raise our faith and cause us to look higher? Cause us, Lord, to trust the shepherd, the chief shepherd of our soul, the one who knows the very hairs of our head. They're all numbered. And Lord, may none of us ever turn back in fear. But Lord, give us faith and courage to go forward to whatever you've called us to. May we step out and rise to the occasion, Lord. Bless each member here, the congregation that are here today, those that are not here, Lord. And Lord, raise us up, grow us up. May the word of God find a place in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.